try to fight, but the time will hit when you leave all behind and decide to quit. Life's a bitch, ain't it? Trying to get rich and famous way before the picture's painted. Patience, take it step by step, waiting, anticipating on what's coming next. Life's a quest, leaving many questions left, like why am I destined for death? How many messages are left to expect? And can I accept the fact that I'm not the best? Life's a mess, it's hard to take the time to clean it, but if I don't, the same shit is repeated. It'll keep eating me and leave me bleeding. Instead I'll see life to keep me dreaming.
Life is a beautiful, beautiful dream. It ain't always what it may seem. Just keep fighting till the end. It'll all come together, my friend. Life is a beautiful, beautiful dream. It ain't always what it may seem. Just keep fighting till the end. It'll all come together, my friend.
Life's an illusion, taking in strides all the while. The wise have proven that life is useless if the mind's polluted. So why abuse it when time's in movement? Life is current, currently determined by your past occurrence. If I could turn it, I'd try to make it perfect. But I'm not God, I just work as a servant. Thank you, life is grand. I'm not talking about the dollar bills that you hold in your hand. It's a plan that unfolds when you know that you can. Kinda like Nas had wrote and has spoke to his fans. Life's a choice, it's a chance to prove that you have a voice and add some noise to life's natural rhythm. Exploit your mind and expand your vision.
Life is a beautiful, beautiful dream. It ain't always what it may seem. Just keep fighting till the end. It'll all come together, my friend. Life is a beautiful, beautiful dream. It ain't always what it may seem. Just keep fighting till the end. It'll all come together, my friend.
Somebody asked me, what does beautiful mean? I said it's different to each, but open your eyes and take notice to these wonderful things. I play it out in the dreams and wake up with a new lease on life, but they won't extend it, cause the devil say I carry bad credit. Man, they give me this excuse, it's alright, I already know the truth. Man, they don't have to say it, but hopefully I won't die before my people make it. We already there, we doing what we love, hear the music in the air, breathe it in. My vocals transmitted as some sort of medicine, so whatever ails you in this life, you can count it with my music, man, time and time again. To you it's unusual, to me it's beautiful. I have no other way to say it, no other way to explain it, no other way to convey it. This is my life, my dream, my music, and I love it when
life
my people play it.
Life is a beautiful, beautiful dream. It ain't always what it may seem. Just keep fighting till the end. It'll all come together, my friend. Life is a beautiful, beautiful dream. It ain't always what it may seem. Just keep fighting till the end. It'll all come together, my friend.
Yeah, yep, that was called Beautiful Dream by Omni. Yep, and that's a pretty cool song. He's just a started up some hip-hop out here in Las Vegas. And by the way, this is Andrew Fetter coming to you live here in Sin City, where all you can see are pigs flying. So this is, just want to tell you, also you can get his, check out his, he's got a free taste of his music at myspace.com/thekingofcontradiction, which is to the point. And by the way, I got a few little things I got to let everybody know, because there's a couple of events coming along, one of which is I'm actually having another book signing event here in Las Vegas. It's actually going to be actually in the next, it's the area called Henderson, the city of Henderson, on December 15th on this, on the next, on that Saturday, from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the B. Dalton Bookstore at the Galleria Mall, and it's at 1300 Sunset Boulevard, Henderson, and across the streets is Sunset and Stephanie, which I look very forward to it, for my book, which has just been released, The Heretic, which is a sequel to When the Angels Have Risen. And for all you folks out there, you can always check that out at andrewtheheretic.com. And speaking of which, I have a guest who's patiently waiting. I know you're all waiting to hear, but if you ever want to check out my past shows with past guests or past subjects, please do so. You know, in particular, I had several, such as Sun Lily, Reiki Healer, and by the way, you also should check her out at www.epichealing.com. And for contact information, it's listed in there. It's for getting healing or information. And I understand she's coming out with her new magazine coming out in debuting in the spring called JACE with art, culture, and whatnot. Should be pretty cool. So I'm all here excited and patiently here. I've been thinking about this. I have a special guest, and basically, let me start before I give his intro. He was introduced to me by somebody, a friend of mine, that told me about his abduction by extraterrestrials. So I did my own little checkup, see what it's all about, and I'm just telling you, it totally fascinated me because, you know, people hear things, and, you know, they're, and a lot of people are requesting disclosures of UFOs and alien situations. But, you know, you got need to hear it for the first time. So here's my guest. Ricky, are you still there?
I'm here.
And I understand from last time I spoke, when I did a little pre-intro there, you started giving me your story, and I start hearing, and I go, wait, hold on. You know what? I got to hear this live
right.
First time. Because it was actually blowing me away because it was so intricate. You know, usually this is like my show, but today it's going to be your show, Ricky.
All right.
You just tell your story, and, you know, I'll just sit back and I'll play the audience, and I'll be like, I guess, the YouTube debate here and ask my questions. So
okay.
Go for it.
First of all, I'm not a, what do you want to say, like a specialist at this. I'm basically just what you call a witness or a victim. So I can't explain all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? If people want to know how this was made or what was this about, I can only tell you what I've been through. And real quick, every time I saw something that was totally incredible that you could never even imagine, you only had like 1 second to think about that. Like, how the hell was that invented? What is it? Because the next thing you turn around is another thing that's just beyond your belief. So that's just my little thing. I can't explain everything, but I'll tell you what happened. Basically, one night, I was asleep, went to sleep, and I was awoken up by dogs. They were just barking. So I was going to get up real quick and see what was going on, but when I opened my eyes, I was actually walking down my street in the middle of the night. Don't know what time.
What city was this in, Rick?
I don't want to say right now,
okay.
But it was California.
Okay.
Northern California.
All right.
And it was a city, somewhere where you would think, you know, a UFO could land or something like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, that's a little after, but anyway, so I'm walking down the streets and I find out the dogs are barking at me, and they woke me up, but I was walking down the street instead of in my bed. So, like I said, I didn't have too much time to trip off that because more things was happening. All I could do was control my eyes. You know, my body was just walking. It was just going. So, in and out.
You're almost like sleepwalking, but not.
No, it was like, you know what it reminded me of? I just didn't have no control. I could just see what I was doing. I couldn't even blink. I was blinking, but I could move my eyes. That's it. And I can, I could see and understand what was going on. You know, I knew I was walking down the street.
Okay.
And then through this whole thing, I black out and I wake up. And that was the first time I woke up because every time I wake up, I got scared. So something woke me up. The first thing was the dogs woke me up. So the next thing I know, I'm going over this little bridge. And like I said, it's in the city, right? Kind of not a big city, but it's a city. And there's a bike trail. They have like a nature preserve where in this particular part, they couldn't touch it. They couldn't do any construction. So it was like they had a stream there. They put a bike, so it was like forest. So anyway, I'm crossing over this bridge. Still don't know what's going on. Still just looking over, just watching. I'm actually like put my eyes, trying to look almost behind me. I'm just trying to see what's going on. So anyway, I get to this one part, and I bend down on one knee, put two hands on my other knee, and this kind of tripped me out because I didn't understand what the hell was going on. It looked funny. It was something I would never do. And as I'm looking around, trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing, and instead of looking straight forward where I was, my head was, I'm like looking around, and then when I do look forward, I see this ball-shaped craft, like a shack size, like not a big house size. It was kind of small, and it was under these big old power lines. And I'm tripping. Now I start to understand, okay, you know, this is getting crazy. I didn't know what the hell at the first, but then as I'm looking through there, some kind of little black hole or door or something opens, and these two little beings, I don't like to call them gray guys. I call them like little star people or whatever.
What did they look like?
From far away, I couldn't tell. I just thought they were two little people.
So this is like from a distance as you're walking.
Yeah, it was probably 30, 40 yards away. Because I'm kneeling down on this bridge, looking through the trees, and I see a perfect view. Like they almost put me in this exact spot because.
So they're like almost got like a tractor thing on you, like a tractor device, or somehow they're just pulling you to.
I don't know how they're doing it. The only thing I compare it to is what is it when you have surgery and you put to sleep?
Anesthesia.
It's that, but you're awake. You know what I mean?
Right.
So when you're in anesthesia, I was under, this brought back a lot of memories. When I was under anesthesia, they told me to get dressed, and I got dressed at the doctor's office. So I was still able to do stuff.
Right, I hear you. Okay.
So that's the only thing I can compare it to. But they weren't like right next to me telling me this. You know. But anyway, I blacked out. The next thing I remember is walking into the, like I had to walk 50, 40 yards to get there. I don't remember that part. But the next thing I remember is I'm walking in the craft. And I wasn't scared or anything like that. It was kind of weird. And I actually had to duck in it, bend down. I'm only 5'5", so it was small. It wasn't like a big old spaceship or nothing. It was small. And it had no lights, and it was like black. And I don't remember if it was landed or just a little bit above the ground or whatever, but it was like where I can step in it, that high off the ground. And anyway, I got in it. And as soon as I got in it, the two little guys came in behind me, who I actually didn't look at, but I knew they came in behind me and whatever thing closed. And I did that little kneel thing again that I did on the bridge. I like squatted down because it was so small I really couldn't stand up inside the craft or whatever. And I asked the guys, I asked them, where are we going? Where are you taking me? And they said, we're going to the moon. I'm taking you behind the moon. And I just asked them simply. I wasn't like, what, anything like that. I just said, why? And they said, because Earth can't detect us from their radar from behind the moon. So I said, okay. Not even tripping. I wasn't even like flipping out. It was just like anybody telling me anything. Because I don't know why, but I didn't flip out. So we actually take off. And, like, when I first got in there, it was just like a black room, no lights, no nothing. I just sat down, whatever. And then, like, a window or something popped up where I could see outside the craft. And, man, we took off. It's funny to say it, but it happened. So we took off. I saw the Earth get smaller, and then we passed up the moon. Which was crazy because I was just tripping off how we're leaving Earth, and then the next thing I see, we on my right, here comes the moon. It passes us up, and then we made like a U-turn and went into the black side, and that was basically the beginning of it. And then I blacked out again. Man, keep going.
Hey, keep on going. I'm just curious. So you know, I just want to know. So like right now, you're still like in that semi-anesthesia state, sort of.
I was in no control of my body. All I could do.
No control of my body, but you're like you can like see. You're almost like you're.
And I can ask them stuff. I can ask them questions.
So now that you're close to, what did these extraterrestrials look like?
I didn't see them at this point still.
Oh, so they're sort of like next to you, but you can't see them.
They were behind me in the inside the craft. They walked behind me. I know they walked by me. And then I was bent down just looking straight. I can't control. I would have turned my head. But I didn't. My head didn't turn to look at them. So I knew they were behind me. First thing I did is ask them, well, where are we going, you know?
So when they conversed with you, was it like a telepathic type of thing? Or was
At first, I was talking to them with my mouth. And I can get to that part later, exactly how I found out about that. But see, I'm sitting there talking to them with my mouth, asking them, you know, this, and then they answer me. So I'll get to that part about the telepathy stuff or whatever you want to call it, which is crazy.
Okay, so the spacecraft was sort of like, you said, not even taller than a house?
Yeah, not at all. It was like, I compared it to the size like a shed, like a big shed.
So it's like, oh, okay. So it's pretty small. What we would think we compare it to maybe a modern space, a space shuttle. It's actually quite small, comparatively. But it would be still pretty, you know.
Yeah, but it had no wings. It had no like nothing. It was a trip. And when you're in there, when you're leaving, you can like stand up. It ain't like a jolt. You know how like in a car if you take off real quick. It's not like that at all. There's no
gravity gravitational.
You're not getting whiplash. You know, it's nothing like that.
Interesting.
So yeah, it's almost like falling forward a little bit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a trip.
So then, what happened when you were like on the moon? Did you after when they start they got you there? And,
First thing that happened was I blacked out as soon as I saw us go make that U-turn, and then again, this is another time that scared me and woke me up was. I woke up naked in this V-shaped pool made out of metal, halfway filled with gel, some black and green thick gel. So I'm like, I got it all over me. I'm naked, and I'm like halfway out and halfway in. Like maybe, like, I don't know how I got there. I don't even want to say maybe because I don't want to make people think this is how I got in. But I don't know how I got in. Only thing I thought that this like made me slide in. And when I woke up, I was halfway in. I caught myself. Can you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
I call it a funnel pool. You know what a funnel is? Like you put oil in a car or whatever.
Right.
Clog that up, fill it up halfway with oil, and throw naked humans in it. And there's no way you're getting out. You understand that?
They took you and put you into this like mixture of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how they put me in there, but that's what I woke up next. And
so you were like in a gelatin, like
the black gel, like Jello, like fruit Jello, but without the fruit, kind of like that. But liquid. Again, I can't explain it too
right,
well.
I hear you.
You know, I didn't take any. You know, but anyway, I'm in there, and they keep telling me to go under it. You can breathe it. You know, you can digest it. You won't drown. Don't worry. No, I didn't want to do it. No, I wouldn't do it. So I wasn't slipping in. So, and then I noticed there's like 15 other people in there with me. And it's big. It's like, again, like 30 yards around, big circle, shiny metal filled with this stuff. And like, if you got under it and you tried to crawl out, there's no way you're crawling out because what it was made of, the metal, made it just so slippery that you can't, you know, there's no way you're climbing out.
So the other people that were in there, were you able to communicate with them?
All they were doing was screaming. You know, and that's what kind of, I started panicking too. This is the only time during the event I was really, really scared because everybody is screaming, man. The guys are screaming like girls. And I was panicking because nobody's saying, they're coming to get us, they're going to kill us. Watch out, they're not telling me nothing. So I figured this is it. You know what I mean? I don't know what to think. So I started just, instead of focus, I seen there's some underwater or under the jail, and there was this lady who was like right next to me, touching distance, who would just stay there and was just staring at me. And there was this one man who kept getting out. He would crawl like halfway out, and they would hit him with this like green beam light or something, and he would slide back in. And I was really tripping off this guy because I didn't understand where he was going if he did escape.
So how long were you in that mixture that, like, I guess it would be sort of like your little mini prison?
That's a good way to put it because I'm going to tell you what they told me about the jail. That's interesting you say that. Anyway, probably about 20 minutes or so that I, consciously that I remember. And what I did was, I started this one that some of these people were in here for years. They were in there for years and years because I just knew that some of them were there for a long, long time. You can literally live in it. They said your waste turns back into the jail. It's just like recycles it. It goes through your whole system and doesn't change, but you won't drown. And there were people under there the whole time I was there.
They were calling that people eating their own shit, but anyway.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, I was tripping. And then that's when they started telling me about, I'll get to that in a second. And then, so what I did, I started to panic again. What I did, I figured out my hands didn't have the gel on it, right? So I put my face like 1 inch to the metal to see what it was, you know what I mean? I wanted to figure out what the hell this shit was. So I figured out that when you put, like, my feet had the gel in it, and if you try to push up under it, there's no way. You're slipping. So my hand could grip it. So what I did is put my hands on the metal, slid it under the gel where I had no gel in between my hands and the metal. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Under the gel. It's hard to explain, but it kept me above the gel. And I just looked up and put my nose and my mouth out of it and just was breathing like that. So hopefully they could have seen me.
So
I didn't want them to hit me with that beam. So
Ricky, obviously you had no sense of what time it was, so you wouldn't even know how long. You could have been there a week, a year.
Yeah, but I came home the same night because I went to work the next day.
Oh, wow.
So it was only a 20-minute thing there for me.
For our time, that you assume that was 20 minutes.
Well, in that one, yeah, exactly. What I was saying, human time, if it was on Earth, I was there maybe 15 minutes that I know. But then I believe they put me under because I blacked out again.
And then what happened? Did they finally take you out, let you out of that stuff? Or what?
Yep, I ended up waking up again. But let me tell you about what I asked them about that gel. I was telling them that, man, because when they were telling me what you can do with it, you know, you can breathe it, you can eat it, you can live in it, you won't die, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can literally, if there's an ocean of it and you fall to the bottom of the ocean, you're going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to survive. So I asked them, man, if we had that, if humans invented this and we had it on our planet, this would be the greatest invention ever we have ever created. And then they told me we're not allowed to have it because, I'm going to break it down, and they told me a little more, but they said we would dig holes in the ground, fill it up, and imprison people. That would be our prisons. So we weren't allowed to have that or something like that. So, and then the next thing, I woke up again. This time I'm out of the jail, still naked, and those little what you guys call gray guys,
mm-hmm.
They had me by my wrist, and they were making me walk, and I didn't like how they felt. I didn't like their skin. And I pulled back, and I got pissed. I was very, very mad at this time. First of all, they don't like them making me go anywhere. Second, I'm naked. I'm embarrassed about that, and they're being very rude to me. So I ball up my fist. I was going to hit them, and there was two of them there. And they, like, look at each other, and they're talking to each other. And this is where I realized that all our minds are open. I could hear everything they're telling each other. They know what I'm thinking. So they knew in my head, first of all, I don't like frogs. I'm going to make this real quick. I hate, it's just a phobia for me. I hate them. They scare the hell out of me. And that's what their hands felt like. So I got really mad. I pulled away, and I was going to punch them. And they were reading my brain. They knew what I was thinking, and they also knew that I wasn't going to punch them because I don't like how they feel. And if I did punch them, my hand was going to go straight through their head, and I didn't want that all over me either. So I was, like, stuck, man. I didn't know what to do, but I would hit them before they touched me again. So they looked at me, and I told them I was going to punch them, and he told me if I did that, I would change the world as we know it. So I was still balled up. And what they did, they looked at each other, walked away, and they brought this other guy over. He wasn't like them. He was taller than me. I'm 5'5". I'm not saying he's a 7 foot or nothing. He was just a little taller than me. So, I mean, this dude walks me away. He looks at me. They told him that they're having trouble with this one. And they were talking about me. So this is where it gets stupid and crazy again. But the taller one looks at him, he looks at me, and he tells them, this is the prophet. And then them two look at each other, and they walk away. And then I start walking with this guy. And this is the cool part, because he was extremely cool. And people say, oh, they lied to you. But nobody's been up there face to face with these people. And it's hard to lie to somebody when you can see their brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They say, oh, well, they can do that. How do you know? You weren't there. I was there. I went through it. You know what I mean? I know. And they just started telling me stuff. First thing he said, I told him why I did that, because I didn't like him touching me, and he knew, and he wanted me to do some medical experiments. That's what he said they were taking me to go do, and I knew I was pretty much trapped, so I just basically made a deal with him. I just told him, don't scare me, don't touch me, and don't hurt me, and I told him you can do whatever you want, and he agreed with me. And then we went to the medical, and the next thing I remember, it was the medical experiment, or whatever you want to call it. I was in the room. I woke up again, and I was in the room with those little guys, laying down. I could still use just my eyes again, but I knew what was going on now, because I had agreed to this, and it was like a snap, and I was there. You know, right after I agreed with it, I was there. So I don't know if I blacked out, and he hurried up and put me there, but first thing I do when I wake up, man, he's taking my right eyeball out. They got it. It's out of my head. And I'm like looking, it doesn't hurt. They're just telling me it's cool, we cool. And then I'm able to ask these guys questions while they're doing this. Like, not like a regular surgery where you could talk, like I got you cut open. I can straight talk to these guys. I ask them, what are you doing? They had like a needle or something, and they put like a BB or something behind my eye. And they said they're going to monitor me, and I said okay. So they put the eyeball back in, and I thought it was at first was like a video camera, wherever I go to see what I see, but I don't believe it was that. They said it was just to find me or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But again,
you've been sort of low jacked.
I don't know. I hope not. But shit, they found me before, so I don't know what that was about.
Yeah.
But anyway, again, I can't trip off this because I'm going to the next thing. You know, they start taking some skin off of my arm. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask about this because this didn't, you know, this wasn't no eyeball. It was like they cut a little square and they like just straight took it off. But it was like transparent, man. It was just, you couldn't even see anything. But they had it. And I was like, is that it? You know, I mean, it didn't even look like anything. They went to that. I don't know what that was for. And then this is embarrassing. And this part is the probably the worst part of the whole thing. They ended up taking some semen from me. And I always say it wasn't the nice way. And it was just bad, man. But it didn't hurt. You know, it didn't cut me or nothing. They actually just went in from the top, did what they had to do. It's almost like they were showing me, but it was, like, terrible, man. And I asked them about that. And they were telling me.
Why they're doing all these little, tests or whatever they're doing?
Well, I only asked about my eyeball, and then I asked about my, I was stressing really bad when they were doing.
I guess you would be sitting there, like, at their mercy, basically.
Yeah, and it's kind of messed up, because I agreed to go through this, but they didn't tell me what they were going to do, so I really don't know if I would agree to it. So they were smart in that sense by just saying medical examinations or whatever. So anyway, that was pretty much the last part, and I didn't ask them right there what the hell that was about, because it was so crazy, man. I'm thinking, in my mind, I thought they chopped off one of my testicles, man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's it. You know, this churned whole, this is a whole different story now.
Right.
But they didn't. They didn't. So I black out again. You got any questions on that part? Or
go keep on going. So basically, they were just doing these little medical examinations of you or whatever.
Right.
And then I know that you had briefly discussed that actually they think, because that sounds pretty, like, not so enlightened. I mean, they're basically looking at you like an animal, like it's sort of funny, weird, but you know, so it would be like, you know, humans when we, you know, tag an animal.
You watch what I got to tell you, dude. I know everything about this now. it's funny that you're saying these things. It's so crazy because, okay, let me get to the next part. So I wake up again, right? I'm with that taller guy that I agreed, the nice guy, I call him. I was with him. First thing I asked him was about my testicle. I said, well, why are you doing that? He said, he just said straight up, we're making babies in space. I said, what? He said, we're making baby humans in space. Pure humans, he calls them. And then, now these conversations that they that we have mm-hmm. with this guy, he ended up doing something. He ended up downloading so much. He just downloaded me knowledge from everything into me exactly like you do a computer. Mm-hmm. It's like going to 10 years of college in 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
So he downloaded everything I need to know about the babies in space, but as we're talking about it, that's I got to keep going with the story, or that topic right there will be another 2 hour show.
Yeah, go ahead, keep on going.
Okay, so he explains we're making pure humans in space. So I'll get to that part later if you're interested. And then as we're talking, man, these guys can see like in the future, like 2 seconds in the future or something, because he knows what I'm about to ask him. I'm going to ask him about the babies in space. And as I'm asking him this, we walk into this room. This like room disappears, man. Just out of nowhere, like we either walk through a door or something. But anyway, it just appears, and then there's these two kids and two humans, and they were humans born in space. That he let me know. Say they were 14, maybe even younger. It was a boy and a girl, and they were at this big control panel or big like a. You probably would recognize it, like, since a radio, it's like an engineer board or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was some kind of something. And they were, like, just controlling, doing something. And they turn around, they look at me, I look at them, I nod my head. And as we're talking on the topic of babies born in space, he shows me, if you can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of interesting. And like I said, I'll get back to that and the humans and why they got them and all that stuff. And why they're doing that. So then again, I'm tripping again, man. I'm like, this is some kind of unreal stuff because how are they feeding them? What are they doing? What are they, you know, you don't have to, obviously I know you don't got to go to school when they can just download anything they want into you. You can literally know how to build a ship if they want you to. They can just download whatever. It's the best thing ever created. Anyway, so I'm wondering how the hell these guys are eating. What are they doing? You know, what's this about? So as I'm talking about this, he brings me into this other room. I know this sounds so crazy, Andrew.
Go ahead, just tell how, hey man, you know, the listeners, just listen to how it is.
Okay. You know? And I'm cutting it short, I'm cutting out all kinds of stuff, trying to get the whole story, and I'm about to come to the end here in a few minutes, and then you can ask whatever, but, so I'm talking about how they eat, and what do they do, and stuff. So then they bring me into this room, another black room, and there's a few of those little guys running around, right? And then I look up, and there's a damn cow hanging in the air. And, like, my stomach turns because I think he's dead. Because I think this is the end. I think this is where I die now because I start panicking, man. He knows. He's got to know because we can read each other's brains. And basically he's showing me about this is a big part of human abduction is food for humans, basically. I'm going to tell you what they did. Well, actually, they got the cow. He wasn't hanging off no crane, no rope, or anything. And I'm blown away at this because I know cows can weigh a ton. And I don't understand it. Again, I can't sit here and figure this stuff out because they're about to do something. And they dip them in this pool or something. And when they lift him back up, like his guts or something's gone. But it's not like bleeding and shit. You know what I mean? It's not gushing out or nothing. So he tells me they make their own cows in space, too. Pure cows, no sicknesses, no illnesses, no fleas, no nothing. Nothing. Just pure cows. And that's what, and then I go, what, you know, I didn't understand that again. He told me, what do baby humans eat? What do baby humans eat when they're born or whatever? And I said, milk. And he goes, correct. And what do adult humans eat when they're adults? And I said, meat and food and whatever. He says, correct. And then, I just took that as it was, man. But then again, I started tripping because I really couldn't see these guys barbecuing and doing whatever. But if they could do all this shit that they're doing around me, I'm sure they could figure out some way to cook it and whatever. But like I said, it sounds funny, but that's just what they told me. And then I started getting on this whole abduction stuff. I was tripping off that. I said, it's kind of effed up, man. You know, what you guys are doing. You're scaring the hell out of us. This isn't cool, blah, blah, blah. And he's all, what he says, so what's the difference between us and you? Why? He says, why are we so bad, but you aren't? I'm like, what are you talking about? And he says, how do you think a tiger feels when he's running through the forest and he sees a big metal loud object above him? He panics and he runs. And then what does he do? How does he explain when he feels a pain in his hip and then he just collapses and all he could do is control his eyes? And then the next thing he says is, and then the craft lands and beings come out of it and they take a tooth, they take semen, they tag its ear, and then basically just scare the shit out of it and for its own good. And then he said, what's so wrong about that? He says, we do worse. You talking about us? He goes, what makes them so bad? And I kind of thought about it, and I was like, I was almost embarrassed at the, because I didn't want to think in my mind how we kill cows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How we kill chickens. I didn't want to think that because he knows what I'm thinking.
Right.
So I was literally embarrassed.
But he probably already knew that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I'm starting to understand the mind game, how to play, how if you don't think of something, they can't read it. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, right,
but
right,
we're
right,
not trained like that. I can't just say, when we're talking about slaughtering animals, I can't, you know, that comes to my mind. I can't control that. So I tried not to do it because it was embarrassing that we do that. At that time, I realized, I'm like, wow, this dude just was serious what he was saying, and he was actually correct. You know what I mean? And he showed me a bunch of stuff and told me everything every human in the world wants to know about.
Future events? I know.
Man, he showed me everything. I know about heaven. I know about death. I know about dying. I know about planet jumping. I know about our past. I know about our future. I know about 2015. Don't know anything about 2012, though. Everybody keeps talking about that. I don't know that. Dude, they told me everything.
What's happening in 2015?
2015 is what I call it's the arrival. It's when they're going to come. They're not going to land. They're not going to come out their ships and do all that stuff. They're going to fill the skies up, and there's going to be no doubt that they exist. And that's their main purpose, is they're not here to make contact with our presidents. They've done that stuff before. I got a big topic on that. I'm pissed off if that stuff's true. The government made a deal with them because they were ignorant to do. If that was a true deal, where we traded technology for what was, do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I've heard about that.
But isn't that stupid? Why would we trade technology? We can get that through time. If anything, let's trade knowledge. That doesn't make no sense because these guys are older than us. That's the only thing different than us. That's what they were letting me know also is they're millions and millions and millions. Their race is millions and millions and millions and millions of years old. They're just older than us. They're not smarter than us. They have just advanced. Our race keeps dying, if you can understand that. We keep destroying ourselves over and over and over again.
Hmm.
So it's like if this is odd stuff, man, and I can't explain it, but if we don't exist, they don't exist. We are like almost like their forefathers or something. But they're here. It's a weird, man. You can spend all day.
We're somehow very connected to these species, then.
Yes, it's a must. We survive.
Are we older than them? Or we're not older than
them. It's a trip. It's like, okay, you know, like George Washington and them, our forefathers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like if we can go back and take care of them to make sure, because if they killed ourselves, we aren't alive, right?
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. They're like,
so it's kind of like that. It's like they're taking care of their children or something. It's these particular ones are, as far as they're not here to hurt us at all.
Well, how do they relate to religions then?
See, they're not religious, they're spiritual. Their spirituality coexists with technology, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, here, science and religion, they trip. You know, religion, first of all, is bad. It's another form of law. So,
no, but I'm talking about more on the, not just, I know that part, the BS with that, but I'm talking on the spirit side as to how do they feel about, like, for example, you know, you were telling me about death and stuff, so what are they telling you about? What happens when you die?
We all go to the same place. We're out of physical form, we're all the same. I'm not religious. I'm a man of God, but I'm not religious. I don't go to church, but I know God. I know God. Anyway, we all go back to the same place regardless what you do. This is going to turn people off a lot, but we all go back home. And it's our choice where we go after that. If you want to come back here, that's your choice. There's plenty of places we can go.
So basically, we reincarnate, basically.
Yes.
So we'll die, our spirits leave our body, mm-hmm. and then we all go to the same place.
Right. We've got loved ones waiting for us right now that you've never met.
And then
you can't wait to see.
And then you make a choice about, oh, you know what, let me go back.
Yep. And that's the thing about humans, and that's what's so fascinating about us. We are, out of all the races of extraterrestrial beings, we're the most unique. We feel, we touch, we love. Emotions are incredible, I guess. and that's what brings us back so much, is our families. You know, we usually come back to the same family tree. You can venture anywhere the hell you want, but we usually come back, and that's what's it's kind of weird. And it's what's messed up is when we come back, when we're born, we're automatically programmed again, if you could understand that.
Yeah, I understand. We're like a veil covered.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to get into all the religious and government stuff.
No, it's funny you say it, because I've heard some in the past, people have said almost identical things to what you're talking about. In fact, I actually mentioned them on my past shows about the way we die and stuff, and people think there's a heaven and hell, but I always felt that you come back, and then you choose your own life.
Yeah. Right.
When you come back.
Now, human circumstances will change that, you know.
Yeah. So what exactly going to happen in the future? I mean, I'm sorry, everybody's probably, because they all heard, when it's 2012, and now you say 2015.
Well, let me tell you what leads up to 2015.
Okay, well, what happens?
What happens
I'm already,
here?
Like, ready to hear what the hell is going to happen.
We're going to find, somebody goes to the moon and finds probably where they took me. They're going to find structures on the moon, physical evidence of non-man-made structures. And the people are going to see this, just like they saw the moon landing on TV, but this time they're not going to be able to hide anything because it's going to be physical evidence on the moon already there.
Do you know that they've already seen, NASA already knows that there's physical evidence?
This is the world I'm talking about. This is where NASA's not going to hide. They can't hide this.
Hide it, right.
It's going to be publicly, because they're probably going to be a different country, is what I'm thinking.
Because Russia used to have pictures of the stuff. And they never used to airbrush pictures.
But
when we got it, they
But see, we're so programmed, when America says they're lying, what does America think?
Right.
That they're lying.
Right.
You know, we're so damn brainwashed in this country, it's ridiculous. It's stupid. We could say anything. But anyway,
Go ahead.
This is going to be undeniably, they're going to find it. And then I don't know why, but they're going to end up coming in 2015 and showing themselves. And then on that day, what they showed me, I actually was put there, and they showed me what happens. And that day, there's going to be mass suicides for religious belief reasons, and everybody's going to think it's Armageddon, and they think it's the end of the world or something. But they don't do anything; they're not a threat. It's in movies where they're shooting us and doing. They just show themselves, and the religious fanatics and the people that don't understand this are going to take their lives in the hugest form ever in one time, you know what I mean? They're not even going to be related. They're just all going to choose to do that because of fear. When they should just open their eyes and finally realize that reality isn't religion, you know what I mean?
What they've all been induced to believe.
Yeah, it's called programmed, man. It's programmed to believe this, and then they don't they start questioning God, man, when all they got to do is ask and figure it out. Because
well,
once you see this...
What they've been told what is God is not really what is real.
And I tell people this all the time, there's nothing wrong with being wrong. Nothing wrong, because if you're wrong, you learn.
Yeah.
You learn, man, and I'm just trying to tell people. But I don't really worry about that, because I'm not going to be one of those killing myself.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's funny you said that, because I've heard on another... actually, a friend of mine, who has actually, in fact, I was interviewing, his name is Jerry Piffin, and he was on his show, and off of, it's sort of weird because it's off my book, When the Angels Have Risen, and he, this was about a year and a half ago when he did my interview, and then afterward, he contacted me before he aired, this guy he had interviewed, he also kept himself anonymous, he worked for the government, almost identical story where you're real close, but he worked for the government,
disclosure,
and he had papers out there, and he said... that almost real similar what you said, that the aliens, when they expose themselves or show themselves, that people are going to freak out, and that's what they're afraid of. But they said, you know, it's now it's coming to a head. They're going to just do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's very interesting how you were saying what was going on, because it's almost identical to
they put
this
me
guy
there.
Was saying.
They put me there.
Yeah.
You know, when I ask, man, it's not like, you could say a hologram, but man, they put me there, dude. I was like, I was on the ground on Earth when this shit happened.
Yeah,
I'm looking
this
up.
This isn't governmental papers. It's documented in papers. They have documents of this. That's what's weird. It's documented papers that the government has, their conversations, their communications, almost identical to what you're saying right now.
Well, it's true. I don't know about them, but I know what I'm saying is true. And, like I said, it's funny because when I was in that situation, when I saw it, I remember coming out, I look up, and I said, they're early. That's the first thing I said, they're early, and my wife and kids are screaming and panicking and doing all this crazy shit or whoever. But sometimes when they would let me view things, it would be in different people's bodies or different things. You know what I mean? So I don't know if it was actually me, but I saw it.
Did they ever say, Ricky, did they ever ask you why they... decided to pick you as opposed to another person, or is it just random? Or
well, I don't know if it was random, but he kept calling me a damn prophet, man. He didn't call me my name. He was calling me the prophet. So I don't know if they picked me up on accident, but and the only thing I know about prophets is they know things. And when he downloaded everything into me, it made me a damn prophet. But he called me that before he did that.
Yeah.
So
you know,
I don't understand
about
that.
Where are you saying? Because that's only, you're like the guy in my book. I swear to God,
really?
It's like he's picked up and then he's downloaded all this information and shown all what's going to comes back down.
Dude,
and
I know everything.
That's fascinating.
Dude, I know everything. It's a trip because, of course, they downloaded millions and millions of things, but I can't really speak on it until the topic comes up. As soon as the topic comes up, the book opens and I can explain everything about it.
Wow.
I love it. I love it because I don't tell people everything, but I'm content with everything, man. I'm content with my deathbed. I'm content with dying. I'm content with how I'm raising my children. I'm just content.
As the Buddha would say, there's no way to happiness. Happiness is the way.
If you don't have that, there's no reason really. Well, there's reasons to live, but that is one reason to live. You must experience it and content. And like what they do here on Earth is jacked up because they got people fearing death all their whole life.
Yeah, that's because of the heaven and hell issue. And that's how to control them. But what is how do your family, like your wife and your kids, and how do they relate to the, they obviously know what you went through. How do they?
No, they don't. They don't.
Why don't they relate to it?
Because they don't know about it. I'm embarrassed.
Oh, you haven't discussed it?
No, I'm embarrassed about this, man.
Oh, really? Why would you be embarrassed? Maybe that's why they made
you. Because of the penile implant. They took out my eyeball. I went to the moon.
Yeah.
Who's going to believe that?
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes the more you go out and talk about it, the more. Does your wife know about your experience?
No, I don't want to tell her anything about that. Because you know what? I'm embarrassed, man. That's all I can tell you. I don't know if you'd be embarrassed with a penile whatever they did.
Yeah,
and,
come on, I've had a decatheter in me. I had surgery a year ago, man.
Yeah, but you weren't on a spaceship. You know what I mean? It's embarrassing.
Yeah, I know. I hear what you're saying.
You know, people just don't, man. They just don't. I'm not like, I'm still got a job, man. I don't. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
This is still America, and they still treat people like me like crap.
That's pretty sad. Like people can't disclose without being fear of. I mean, I understand where you're coming from because there was like a couple, you know, governors and even one of the candidates said, hey, you know, or even Carter said, yeah, or. I saw UFO, and then they make
a joke
out of him.
That's it for him.
No, and then they make a joke out of him, you know, right after.
Well, see, that's why I'm doing all this anonymously. I've got on my YouTube, I blur out my thing, I disguise my voice, I do everything I can. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I am embarrassed, but, you know what, if I ever did a convention or did a speech or something, mm-hmm. and somebody talked to me wrong, man, I'm different. I'm not Betty Hill or Travis Walton. I'm going to say something. You know, I might... Look, I'm not here to lie. I'm not making anything up. If I were to make this up, man, I'd have made up a beautiful story. But this isn't nothing to brag about. It's an embarrassing. It was like a rape victim being talking about it.
I hear what you're saying because you basically feel like because you were victimized.
Dude, I was walking around naked. I didn't do that.
You're abducted.
Yeah, man, and they. But I'm glad what they taught me because before I was worried about death. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So from your perspective, being in that situation, you look like you'd feel like you've been, you know, a rape victim. And in their perspective, though, they're looking at it as like...
It's saving our race.
Yeah. They're looking for the overall, not the immediate.
Yeah, they're saving our race for whenever they need it. You know what I mean? If it's next year, they're ready to take care of us. If it's 20,000 years from now, they're ready to take care of us. They just keep doing it, and you know, because you know, they have to. We've been extinct a few times, man. We weren't here when dinosaurs were here. We weren't hiding in caves when they were here. We just came after they were done.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't. We would have been nothing but Tic Tacs and M&Ms to them guys. You know what I mean? So they had to. You know, they. Sometimes it takes a million years for us to be able to be the masters of the planet. But we need to take care of it. Now, I'm not tripping at all because, like, I know what's going to happen. So,
now, are they, what, did they ever say what area where they're from, if they're from certain star system?
You know what, I didn't ask anything like that, but I did want to go with them. I was begging them for them to come with me. I mean, for me to go with them. But it was kind of like for a selfish reasons, and they knew it. It was kind of like funny to them because I thought I would be like the baddest guy on the planet. You know what I mean? I thought wherever they were from, I'm going to be like 9 foot tall over there. You know, so it was kind of like funny to them, and they said I would never survive the trip or some shit like that.
Did they ever say their name at all? Like what they might be, you know, what they would be calling themselves or each other?
No, they just talked to each other. They didn't say, like, hey, Larry.
Like you wouldn't say, hey, like I say, Ricky or Andy, right. Or they don't say, they just say that, this. So they purposely maybe not gave out to their who they were.
Yeah, and I believe if I would have asked them, you know, they would have told me, but I didn't ask. I was fascinated in a lot of other things, like just everything, man. I started getting real interested in the knowledge stuff, like what they would let me know, and they would let me see, like, the future and the past and... You know, and the planet jumping and the, what else did they show me? Just everything, how this planet is. It's crazy. We're living on some crazy times, man.
Did they ever say how you're, because I know our time's starting to get up there.
Right.
Did they ever say, you know, did you ever have a feeling they might try to do that again to you?
They told me they were done with me and I'll know what to do. When it's my time. So that's when I think 2015. You know, and they also told me, this is crazy, I have never really told nobody this, but they told me how I would pass away. You know what I mean?
Wow.
How I would die.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like in a movie where they look in the I can't remember what movie it was, but they look into the eye of the witch or something like that.
Well, what these guys were doing, it was right after the examination. I'm sitting here right on the bed or whatever, mm-hmm. And they're talking about it. They're like crossing and talking about it, but I can hear. They're talking about my heart, right? Mm-hmm. They start saying stuff like that. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I interrupt them. And I got mad. And I was like, man, well, if you know what's going to happen, fix me. You know what I mean? Fix me. Wow. You do everything else. And they said they can't. They were saying, well, we're not allowed to and shit like that. And that's when I got mad again. And I was like, man, it's making no sense. But
Ricky, I know we're coming. We only got a few more minutes left.
Yeah.
So I want you to, if you can, just tell possibly how somebody, people have questions. I know they can also direct them to me, and I can indirectly send them to you if they want. And they can contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com or MySpace /Andrew Fetter. Mm-hmm. Or do you have also a contact where if somebody had questions regarding, you know, what you went through indiscreetly, or if you have like a MySpace or something?
Yeah, I have like three contacts if you'd like, if they'd like to, if you want to see me, see the story where I'm sitting here actually telling you, it's a www.youtube.com. What is it, /UFO abductee?
Yeah.
Is that the right one? How to say that?
Yeah, go ahead.
And then the same thing with MySpace, myspace.com/UFO abductee. And of course, my Hotmail is UFOabductee@hotmail.com. So, I don't know, man. There's a lot of questions I got, too. I'm mad at this little guy. I've been studying about this little government stuff and the deals they were making. They're stupid. They're stupid. If this
so they, they told you about the little deals they had made with the government?
I don't know. They didn't really tell me, but I'm studying about it and I'm reading about it, and I guess they were allowed to take some of us or stuff like that.
How do you know were they the same aliens? Because I've heard of stories of their different aliens.
No, I believe these are the only ones doing that, man, because these were the ones that want to take care of us. And there used to be aliens that used to come and harm us or stuff like that, but I believe they're not allowed to come here no more. And most of the alien species can't survive here because our aging process or something.
So there have been like a dark side of aliens that had been here, and then they've basically, came
off
back
limits.
And kept them off limits
to
save our race. I wonder if that was the reason why, because this is my feeling, is just, and this is real quick, is just, I think that part of the narrow theologies is created from that, but I think we're coming to a close.
Right.
And, Ricky, I want to really thank you for coming on my show.
No problem.
It's really an eye-opener, I'll tell you. I think I'm going to have to, myself, after this is put up on archive, listen to this over and over again and pick up all the pieces because there's so much information. And
this is just it's a one grain of rice and a bowl of rice, man. I haven't told you anything.
Yeah, and
that's just a story.
I'm definitely going to want you in a future program. And anybody out there, send me questions about this show, and specifically you can direct them to me or directly to Ricky here, and I'll be happy to either forward them or I'm sure he'll answer any questions. And everybody out there, I want to thank you for those celebrating Hanukkah, Chag Sameach, Merry Christmas, and Happy Kwanzaa. And until next time, thank you all for listening and to my future archives. God bless you all. Thank you.